three of the biggest AI crypto tokens are looking at a $7.5 billion merger, and the SEC gets the green light to proceed with their lawsuit against Coinbase. Good morning, you're listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph, with me, Robert Baggs, steering you through the crypto cosmos with daily dispatches from the digital frontier. If you want to stay ahead of the curve in crypto, make sure you click that follow button. Okay, grab yourself a coffee and let's get into it. We're going to start today's episode, as usual, with a look at Bitcoin in the past 24 hours. There have been some macroeconomic concerns, a very positive report from Grayscale, and some interesting post-halving price predictions from researchers. Coinbase's request for dismissal has been denied, and the SEC can proceed with their lawsuit against them. KuCoin reacts in an unusual way to the DOJ and CFTC circling, and three of the biggest AI protocols in crypto are looking at merging. Bitcoin's price has lurked between $68,000 and $72,000 for the past 24 hours as we sit in a sort of limbo. Some analysts are suggesting that global economic concerns and mixed market signals are holding Bitcoin's price back, and that positive price movement largely hinges on the spot Bitcoin ETF's reversal of flows, which we have seen. Some, however, believe that we're right in the mix of the Bitcoin bull market. Grayscale released a report recently called Anatomy of a Bitcoin Bull Market, and I will link to it in the episode's description. Straight off the bat though, Grayscale thinks we are in the middle of a Bitcoin bull market. Now this is due to a number of reasons and metrics that they unpack at length, but I'll give you an overview. Firstly, there's Bitcoin's dominance, which typically paves the way for alt season, and it's currently shaping up very similarly to 2020 and 2021. However, a major difference to back then is the aforementioned spot Bitcoin ETFs. So how much of the future of this bull market is on the shoulders of those ETFs? Well, completely separate to Grayscale's report, but relevant here is what Simon Peters, a crypto analyst at eToro, said. Peters made it clear that Bitcoin isn't entirely reliant on the ETFs. He wrote, "If we do see a slowdown in spot ETF inflows, this could be an indication of the market topping out and running out of steam. But it's important to note that whilst the ETFs have been a major contributor to the rally so far, they are not the only participants in the space. Other entities such as MicroStrategy and Bitcoin whales continue to accumulate too." Okay, back to the report. Another indicator Grayscale has highlighted is stablecoin capital. That is, when stablecoin liquidity is high, it usually means more purchasing of crypto. Grayscale wrote, "The influx of stablecoin capital, as indicated by rising stablecoin reserves on exchanges, typically fuels the momentum of bull markets. However, there is one indication that we're not fully up and running yet that can be found in this report, and it's something we've discussed a lot lately. The masses. Google Trends is a great measure of how interested people are in Bitcoin and crypto, and we are still nowhere near the levels we saw in 2021. The report reads, "To reconcile the rising prices and on-chain metrics with the subdued retail sentiment, it's plausible to consider that the retail investors who fueled the previous cycle haven't fully re-entered the market." Now, this could be for myriad reasons, and the retail hype train may never return to the station or look like it did in 2021. But Marcus Teerlin, the CEO of 10x Research, believes that even without it, we are undoubtedly on par with the 2020 and 2021 bull market. In fact, 10x Research have projected Bitcoin will reach $77,000 by early April and $99,000 by May. So although the timeline is a little different this time around as we hit new all-time highs before the halving, that doesn't mean that a post-halving rally is off the cards. So there was a major update in the SEC versus Coinbase case yesterday. The judge has denied Coinbase's motion to dismiss. This is bad news insofar as Coinbase didn't get what it wanted, but often the move to dismiss is merely a normal first step, and I'm sure that Coinbase's legal team were fully prepared for it to be denied. The US District Judge Catherine Filer, who long-term listeners will know is by no means an anti-crypto judge, has decided to let the SEC pursue Coinbase. The court documents from yesterday state, "The court finds that the SEC has sufficiently pleaded that Coinbase operates as an exchange, as a broker, and as a clearing agency under the federal securities laws, and through its staking program engages in the unregistered offer and sale of securities. The SEC sued Coinbase in June 2023, and it has become one of the most important legal battles in crypto history. So here's how it stands at the moment. The SEC alleges that Coinbase listed 13 tokens that were securities, violating federal securities laws. Coinbase say that the transactions on the platform do not qualify as financial securities and thus aren't within the SEC's purview. The SEC has said, and I quote, "At least some of the transactions on Coinbase's platform and through related services constitute investment contracts, which the federal securities laws have long recognized as securities." So we now know from yesterday's ruling that the court leaned towards the SEC with this, saying, "As explained herein, the crypto nomenclature may be of a recent vintage, but the challenged transactions fall comfortably within the framework that courts have used to identify securities for nearly 8 years." Adding that, the court concludes that because the well-pleaded allegations of the complaint plausibly support the SEC's claim that Coinbase operated as an unregistered intermediary of securities, defendant's motion must be denied. This all sounds terrible for Coinbase, but nothing has really changed. Dismissal was a long shot, and the case against Coinbase hasn't just got stronger, it just secured its chance to be heard. Paul Gruhl, the chief legal officer at Coinbase, wrote on X about this decision, "Looking ahead, we remain confident in our legal arguments. We look forward to proving we're right. We are eager for the opportunity to take discovery from the SEC for the first time, and we appreciate the court's continued consideration of our case." Now, if you would prefer a more pointed response, Edward Snowden quoted a post about the court ruling, adding, "If the SEC keeps acting in bad faith like this, they're going to lose so hard in court that they'll never be able to do this to anyone ever again. Remember when the SEC got spanked so badly that Gensler had to approve Bitcoin ETFs with tears in his eyes? Yeah." Okay, I can't top that. Yesterday, we discussed the heavy-duty charges brought against the exchange KuCoin and two of its co-founders by the United States Department of Justice. Links between the exchange and illicit funds as well as terrorist financing have allegedly been drawn by the DOJ, and parallel to that is a civil enforcement case from the CFTC. The DOJ say that the co-founders willfully failed to put in even basic AML efforts and violated the Bank Secrecy Act. It's a somber and serious time for KuCoin and its co-founders, and the gravitas of the situation has not been lost on the exchange. Yesterday, KuCoin announced a $10 million airdrop. Oh. According to a letter by the CEO, Johnny Liu, KuCoin will hold an airdrop of Bitcoin and its native token KCS worth a total of $10 million. He wrote, "I would like to express my gratitude to all KuCoin users for your support, trust, and companionship during the past few days." Now, Derek Anderson made a good point in his article about this, and that is that airdrops themselves come with risks of regulatory action from the SEC. The SEC wrote in its document, Framework for Investment Contract Analysis of Digital Assets, "The lack of monetary consideration for digital assets, such as those distributed by a so-called airdrop, does not mean that the investment of money prong of the Howey test is not satisfied. Therefore, an airdrop may constitute a sale or distribution of securities." So in all honesty, I don't know what to make of this. Is KuCoin simply trying to retain users? Have the team just decided they're going to go down swinging? Or is this a way to show that they aren't shaken by the allegations? Let us know what you think on @Cointelegraph and @RKBags on X. AI in crypto, particularly AI tokens, saw a spike in interest in recent months. Now, three of the biggest AI protocols, Singularity Net, Fetch.ai, and Ocean Protocol, are having votes on whether they will merge into a single ecosystem with a new token, Artificial Superintelligence Alliance, or ASI. All three individual protocols will have to vote for this $7.5 billion merger in order for it to take place, and voting ends on the 16th of April. I spoke to Zee Sun, who covered this story, to get some insight into what these protocols are, as well as why this is important.
Right, so this $7.5 billion AI merger is definitely the biggest news to come out of crypto this week. For Singularity and Fetch AI, both of these projects are more of akin to marketplaces, where they match users with computing resources through artificial intelligence. And then we have Ocean Protocol, which is more about framing AI-human collaboration, such as using AI data for public utility networks. and for privacy. But that said, all three tokens are pretty much conceptual tokens, where users are essentially speculating on the products that they're going to develop in the future and or AI regulation that's going to come out of the sector. While there's a lot of funds being raised from these protocols, most of it is going to incentivizing ecosystem projects or applications that have yet to launch their minimal viable products. So at the end of the day, it's going to be interesting to see what kind of results and performance these projects can develop after the merger has gone forward.
If you're a holder of any of the tokens for these three AI protocols, fear not, you will be able to swap your tokens for the new ASI token, and that's at a rate of 1 for 1 for Fetch.ai holders, and a ratio of 0.43 to 1 for Ocean and Singularity holders. If the merge happens, the new Superintelligence Alliance will share the common goal of developing blockchain-based decentralized AI protocols, which cannot be controlled by centralized parties or large stakeholders. Okay, that is it for today. Consider yourself informed. Thank you for listening to the Rise in Crypto podcast by Cointelegraph. If you're enjoying these daily updates, please make sure you let us know by following, subscribing, or leaving a review. Have a great day. Let's do this again tomorrow.